Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Scripture Seekers Ministry. I'm your host, Mike Riley Jr., and I hope you are having a wonderful week. Last week, we discussed words that weave, and today's episode is forgiveness in the gathering. You know, we've all experienced it at some point. The uncomfortable silence following a hurtful remark, the profound pain steaming from a betrayal, or the persistent rift after a disagreement in our faith community. While the Christian journey promises togetherness, the truth is that conflict is an inherent part of gathering people. So today, we're examining forgiveness, which is one of the most significant and intricate spiritual practices in existence. This vital and resilient element ensures that the fabric of our collective life does not fray completely. Today's discussion revolves around conflict, reconciliation, and the discipline of grace. When we think of forgiveness, it often seems like a pleasant notion or a warm feeling we should strive for. Yet, the scriptures frame it as an obligation, an essential act, and a discipline to uphold. Let's examine a familiar yet notably difficult exchange found in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 18, 21 through 22, which recounts, "Then Peter approached him and asked, 'Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother if he sins against me? As many as seven times?' Jesus responded, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven.'" Now, can you imagine Peter's perspective? Wow, Jesus is being quite generous, suggesting seven times. In Jewish teachings, forgiving three times was typically the norm. Peter thought he was exceeding expectations. He sought a boundary, a distinct standard that would allow him to conclude, "I fulfilled my duty. I am free of obligation now." However, Jesus overturns that standard. He conveys the message, there are no limits. You cannot keep score. So the profound takeaway here is that forgiveness is not transactional. It's a mindset. It does not involve waiting for a number to be reached. Instead, it requires us to embody the grace we have received from God. This is where the discipline aspect comes into play. It compels us to relinquish our right to demand retribution, harbor resentment, or define someone solely by their failings. The moment we start tracking score is when we cease to be a community rooted in grace. The essential message we are approaching is that forgiveness is the thread that holds fellowship together. If a community is woven from numerous threads, like common beliefs, shared worship, missions, and friendships, then conflict acts like a strong tug on one of those strands. Without forgiveness, reinforcing that strand, the gap widens and the fabric begins to unravel. Eventually, the entire fabric of fellowship succumbs to damage. When we choose not to forgive, we engage in three actions that ensure deterioration. First, we evaluate ourselves. We assume the role of a judge, asserting our right to retribution and justice while overlooking the 77 times we have been forgiven by God. Second, we weaponize the past. Holding on to grievances like stones, we stand ready to hurl them at the first sign of human imperfection in others. This behavior renders relationships impossible to sustain. When individuals realize that a single error could result in their expulsion, they cease to express themselves truthfully, serve with confidence, and show vulnerability. This causes the community to become inflexible and fragile. On the other hand, forgiveness is an intentional action aimed at restoring connection. It involves releasing the burden of offense, purposely choosing grace, and trusting that God's presence is more significant than the pain inflicted. It does not imply an immediate forgetfulness of past events, nor does it restore trust instantly, because trust develops gradually. However, forgiveness paves the way for new opportunity. It proclaims you are more than your biggest mistake. The endless grace offered to us by Christ serves as the source from which we derived the courage to forgive. While Peter saw limits, Jesus proposed a way of life. If there's a discomfort in your gathering currently, whether it's a strained relationship, an unresolved hurt, or an ongoing conflict, I urge you to practice this discipline of grace. Begin with small steps. Pray for anyone who has wronged you. Third, be truthful. Recognize the pain, yet opt to relinquish and desire for retribution. Concentrate on identity. View them, as well as yourself, as joint heirs of God's limited mercy. The vitality of the gathering flourishes when its members consistently strive for reconciliation, absorbs grievances, and reestablish the delicate, beautiful fabric of forgiveness. Now, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we express our gratitude for the truths in your word and the limitless forgiveness we see in Jesus Christ. We admit that we often seek limits on our grace, tallying offenses and permitting the bitterness of disputes to take hold in our hearts and our communities. Forgive us for not forgiving others. As we conclude this reflective moment, we request the strength to practice the spiritual discipline of grace. Assist us in shedding the weight of the grudges we bear. Help us to view others not through their faults, but as the cherished siblings you intend them to be. Grant us the bravery to seek reconciliation and the humility to accept correction. May the strength of your mercy and forgiveness within us be so robust that our fellowship, our gathering, remains intact. Keep us united in love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for joining me at Scripture Seekers Ministry. I look forward to next week as we continue this journey on one heart, many hands. And until then, God bless and take care, my friends.